Welcome to the Shir in Lekut Hasichas Chelek Yud Gimel Chukas Beis. In this fascinating sicha, the Rebbe is going to teach us a rule, not about what the Torah says, but about what the Torah doesn't say. A fascinating klal. This sicha is a classic in the work Oitzer Lekut Hasichas, where one sicha per parsha is selected as a Pshutei Shamikra sicha. This sicha is selected for Parshas Chukas. The story that the sicha is based on is very short and somewhat mysterious. The story takes place the 40th year after the Yidden left Mitzrayim. All those who left Mitzrayim have already passed away. Aaron the Kohen Gadol passes away. The Anani HaKoved leave from the Jewish people. Amalek hears this and attacks them. And after Aaron's passing and the attack from Amalek, the Jewish people grow wary and they begin retreating back towards Mitzrayim. They retreat a full 7 journeys back towards Mitzrayim. This is where the Torah begins. And we're going to read it inside. If you have the handout, it's the first text. It's Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Dalet. Vayisu me'ahar ha'har, the Jewish people travel backwards from Har Har, where Aaron passes away. Derech Yamsuf, they go back towards the Yamsuf. Lisvay, because of their despondency, they're retreating. Lisvay ves Eretz Edom, and they are going to have to circle Edom because Edom did not let them pass through earlier, directly towards Eretz Yisrael. But Tikza Nefesh HaAmah Derech, and the spirit of the people grew short with the way. And the people come and they speak against the Eibishter and they speak against Moshe and they say, listen, why did he take us out of Mitzrayim? We should die in the desert. There's no bread over here. There's nothing to eat. We have to rely on the mud. And there's no normal source of water. We have to rely on the Be'er HaShamirim. And our soul is at its limit. We are up to our end with this insubstantial food. That's what they refer to them on. Upon hearing their complaints, Vayishalach Hashem ba'am, Hashem sends among the people Es hanechashim, the snakes, hasirafim, the burning ones. Vayinashchu esam, and they bit the people. Vayomas am rav Yisrael, and a large multitude of Bnei Yisrael died. Rashi here tells us two Rashis. First, why, and you have it in the handouts, it says, as hanechashim hasirafim, the snakes, the burning ones. Says Rashi, why are they called the burning ones? Shesurfim es ha'adam, because they burn a person, be'eres shineim, with their venom, they burn a person. Vayinashchu es ha'am, and the snakes bit the people. Why snakes? Says Rashi, two reasons. Number one, the snake, which was punished for speaking against Hashem, was sent to exact punishment for those who maliciously also spoke against Abishai, against Moshe. And number two is the snake was it has a punishment that whatever it tastes like dust. So let it exact punishment from those who spoke against the man, that it's one food that has many different tastes. The ungratefulness, and the snake exacts punishment for this level of ungratefulness. Okay, so Hashem sends snakes. Pasuk Zayir. So the people come to Moshe and they say, Chatanu, we have sinned. We spoke against the Eibishter, we spoke against you. Please, and remove the snake from us. Right away, Moshe acquiesces, Moshe Adam, and Moshe davens on behalf of the people. Yoimer Hashem Ela Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, "Well, here's what we're going to do. Asay lecha saraf, make for yourself a burning one. V'sim oisay al nes, and place it on a pole. V'hoyan, it will be kol hanoshuch, anybody that is bitten, v'ra'oisai, he will see this snake. V'hoyan, he will live. Okay, make a snake, put it on a pole, and the people will see it and live. Pasuk test. This is going to be the central pasuk of our sicha. Vayas Moshe nechash nechoshes. And Moshe made a copper serpent, snake of copper. Vayisimeu al meis, and he placed it on a pole. Vahoyan, it was inoshach hanochosh es ish. If the snake bit somebody, the hibit, that person would stare el nechash hanochoshes to the copper snake. Vahoy, and he would live. So here we have two Rashis on this pasuk. The first is on the latter, on the latter part of the pasuk. V'hoyan, it is im noshach hanochash es ish, if the snake bit a person. So says Rashi, quotes from the Mishnah. V'amar Abeseinu, our sages say, v'chinochash meimis oy mechaya. Does this snake cause death or give life? Rather, Ella Bisman Shah Yisrael Mistaklim Klape Maila. Remember, the snake was put on a pole. So when you would look at the snake, you have to look upwards towards heaven. When the Yidden looked up towards heaven, Umishab the Meslibam, Laviyam Shaba Shamayim, and they would subjugate their heart to their father in heaven, Hayumirabim, then they would be cured. The Imlav. But if they didn't do that, they didn't look towards heaven and they didn't subjugate themselves, they would waste away. And now we have a Rashi on the earlier part of the pasuk, Nechash Nechoshes. Moshe makes a copper snake. Says Rashi, Loi Nemar Loi La'asoy Seishel Nechoshes. Hashem did not instruct Moshe to make it out of copper. If you look in the pasuk earlier, Hashem just said, make a snake, asei lecha saraf, make a burning one and put it on a pole. He doesn't tell him what to make it out of. So Hashem didn't tell him to make it out of copper. Ela amar Moshe. So why does he make it out of copper? Because Moshe said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu koirei nachash. Hashem refers to this as a nachash. Va'ani e'asenu shel nachashes. So I will make it out of copper. Why? Lashon nefel al lashon, an expression falling on an expression. In other words, the word nachash is related to the word nachashes. Hashem says, make this nachash. The same letters as the word nachashes, so I'll make it out of nachashes, because the words are related to each other. This is the key Rashi that our sikh is going to analyze. So just a little comment is that if you look in your Chumashim, the orders of the Rashi might be a little different than the way I cited them. And in the Haaretz of the sikh, the Rebbe deals with how the Rashis are placed. But the way I quoted them is the way that the Rebbe teaches them in the sikh and explains in the Haaretz. So here the Rebbe has four questions. On this Rashi, Loi nemar loi la'asoy seishel nechoshes. Rashi begins and he says, Hashem did not instruct Moshe to make it out of copper, which is seemingly a question. In other words, the Torah says he made a copper snake, but Hashem didn't tell him to make it out of copper. Seemingly a question. Why this intro? Usually Rashi gets to the point. Could have just said, Hashem called it a nachash. And therefore, Moshe kind of learned that it's related to Nechoshes. So why the intro? Hashem didn't tell him to make it out of Nechoshes. Number two is that that's actually obvious. If you look in the earlier pasuk, Hashem said, make a Nechosh and put it on the pole. No mention of making a copper Nechosh. So not only Rashi doesn't usually ask questions, in this case, the question is quite obvious. Number three. And this question the Ramban asked as well. It says over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called it a nachash. Whoa. Look back at the earlier Pasuk Ches. Hashem said to Moshe, Asay lecha sarof. Make a sarof. Hashem doesn't call it a nachash. It says that the nachashim hasarofim came and bit the people. But Hashem told Moshe, he said, make a sarof. And number four, the order of the Rashis. Like I shared with you in Pasuk, Tess, in our Pasuk, Rashi explains the latter part of the Pasuk. The fact that people would look up, if they were bitten by the snake, they looked up at the snake and they would live, prior to explaining the earlier part of the Pasuk that Moshe makes a nachash out of copper. Four questions in this Rashi. Let's begin with the obvious and basic question, question number three. Rashi tells us that Moshe said to himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu koid a nachash, Hashem calls this a nachash, therefore I will make it out of nachashes. And like we said, that in the Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it a sorof, he doesn't call it a nachash. So here is a principle in the Torah. And this is such an obvious principle that Rashi doesn't even tell it to us. He doesn't tell it to us here. He doesn't tell it to us in other places. It's a principle that the Rebbe doesn't innovate. It's accepted by all the Parshani HaMikra. It's a very obvious principle. But the Rebbe cites it in this context, and others do as well, which is that the Torah does not tell us every detail of the conversations between the Eibishter and Moshe. As a matter of fact, sometimes the Torah will tell us a part of the conversation between the Eibishter and Moshe. And when Moshe will give the Yidden the mitzvah, Moshe will tell us more than we heard in the original instruction. And we know, of course, that whatever Moshe says comes from the divine. So that doesn't bother us. Sometimes we won't hear the conversation between Hashem and Moshe won't be recorded at all. There'll just be an instruction from Moshe to Bnei Yisrael. And again, we know whatever Moshe tells us, Moshe is receiving from the divine. So the rule is that Moshe tells us and the Torah records matters that are not necessarily recorded in the conversation between Hashem and Moshe. And we know that they're there. Sometimes the Torah abbreviates and condenses those conversations. Well, here, the Pasuk says, Hashem comes to Moshe and he says in Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Ches, Asay lecha sodaf. Make for yourself a sodaf, a burning one. Now we know from the beginning of the story, the nechashim hasirafim, the snakes, the burning ones, that the burning is an adjective. It's a way to explain or to describe the snakes. They're not their own type of snake. Rashi says, the snakes, the burning ones. They're called the burning ones because they have venomous, because they are venomous and they burn with their bite. So the word asay lecha sadaf, make for yourself a sadaf, means make for yourself the burning one. The burning what? Well, obviously Hashem didn't say make the burning one. Hashem said to Moshe, make a nachash sadaf. Make a snake a burning one. The Torah omits the word nachash. And it tells us the main word, this the burning one, because the problem is that the people were being burnt, and we're going to rectify this by Moshe making a replica of the burning one. But that is just an adjective of the nachash, of the snake. And it is obvious to us that Hashem says to Moshe, make a nachash sarof, make a burning snake. The Torah just relies that we know this from the context, from the previous pasuk, that the whole problem came about because the nechashim hasrafim, the burning snakes. So this is the first principle that the Rebbe cites. The others, by the way, Torah Tumima, for example, on this pasuk, also cites this principle that the Torah can omit a few words or a lot of words or the communication with Moshe altogether. And we know from Moshe's communication to us that this is what the Eibishter said. But here we understand that we're talking about Hashem said, make a nachash saraf, because that would be a proper way of communication. And the Torah simply omits the word nachash. Like I said, this is an accepted principle. But the Rebbe is going to take this principle now a step further. Because if indeed there is gaps in the communication, in the record of communication between the Eibishter and Moshe, which are fully accepted, so when Moshe makes a nechash nechoshes, he makes a copper serpent. Maybe the Eibishter told him to make it out of nechoshes. Maybe Hashem told him to make it out of copper. So here, the Rebbe teaches us a deeper understanding of this principle of the gaps in the Torah, in a sense, in the communication that's not shared with us. And the Rebbe says, read the Rashi like this. Loi nemar loi la soise shel nechoshes. It's not a question. Rashi is our teacher, and he's teaching us something. He's teaching us that Hashem didn't instruct him to make it out of copper. That wasn't part of the instruction. How does Rashi know? Moshe made it out of copper. Everything Moshe does, the Eibishter told us to do. Told him to do, told us. So why wouldn't we assume that the Eibishter told him to make it out of copper? So Rashi tells us, he prefaces this Rashi that Hashem didn't instruct him to make it out of copper. He prefaces it with explaining the latter part of the pasuk that says, "Vaho yokol hanoshuch," anybody that is bitten will look at the snake and will live. And Rashi says, quotes the Maamar Chazal, "V'chi nachash meimis, does the snake bring death, or does the snake give life?" No. When the Yidden look up and they to look towards heaven and they subjugate their heart, that's what brings life or death. In other words, it is not, there's no power in the snake itself. There's no meaning or there's no greatness in this particular instrument. It was just a way to get the people to look up. Why did it have to be a snake? It had to be a snake because through a snake, while they looked up at the snake, they saw the source of the problem. And they were reminded, like Rashi told us, the messages of the snake. Shaloka alaytzoaz diba, because the snake spoke slanderously, and they reminded of their ungratefulness. The snake only tastes dust. So Moshe made a representation of the snake, but the snake had no inherent powers to itself. It was just a way to get them to look upwards. So if it's just a way to get them to look upwards, who cares what it's made out of? Wood, copper, plastic. What's the difference? So Rashi tells us, loy nemar loy la soysa shal nechoshes. Since inherently we understand that there's no reason to care about what it's made out of. It's just literally a pointer towards heaven and a reminder of their sin. So there's no reason for us to add and to say, well, Hashem told them to make it out of Nechoshes. There's no reason to infer that. In other words, this could have been left up to Moshe. And we learned that, you know what, Hashem told Moshe, make a snake, make it out of whatever you want. So here we have a beautiful explanation in this klal, in this rule in the Torah. In other words, there are gaps that are not recorded in the instructions from the Eibishter to Moshe. And we trust that everything Moshe does is from the divine. However, that rule applies if it makes a difference. If it doesn't make a difference, in other words, if the materials of this, if the snake is immaterial, in a sense, we don't care what the snake is made out of. It's just a representation to remind them of their sin and get them to look upwards. So we don't need to infer that Hashem told Moshe what materials to make it out of. Says Rashi, Loi namar lei la'asoyseh shal nechoshes. You know what? Hashem didn't tell him to make it out of copper. This was up to Moshe. Make it out of material. You'll figure out which material. Okay. Now we understand this rule of the gaps in the Torah. This is the Rebbe teaching us this rule that, like I said, all the Mefarshim understand it's a basic rule in the Torah. You can't learn the Torah otherwise because the gaps are obvious. But here we understand, but those we only fill in the gaps with required information. So now Rashi says, so why take copper? Or why does the Torah tell us that it was copper? He made a snake? Maybe he made it out of styrofoam. Says Rashi, because Moshe learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koyrei Nachash, since the Eibishter called it a Nachash, Ba'ani Eseru Shal Nachoshes, I will make it out of copper, because the word Nachoshes is related to the word Nachash. And Loshein Noifel Al Loshein, and there is a concept of the words being related to each other, simply because they're made out of the same letters. So therefore they are related to each other. And here we're learning a new concept, which is brought many, many times in Chassidus. The Rebbe quotes it quite often, which is this concept of the words themselves have a connection, the letters have a connection between themselves. Halacha lemaisa, in other words, we see that Moshe actually applies this. He applies this rule of learning out related words, nachash, nachashes, therefore he makes it out of copper. So Moshe finds a connection, he sees a connection there. And we actually learn a rule, which is that we can learn from the name of a person, from the way a thing is called, from the letters of a person's name, we can learn a meaning and an insight into who they are and into what their personality is. This is the nigla part of the sicha. Now, the Rebbe is going to take this to an entirely higher level, and that's going to be with the Chassidus aspect of the sicha. So in nigla, we've said that there are gaps, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu called it a nachash. But those gaps, if they're not necessary, then we don't need to infer that they're there, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say nechoshes. Now the Rebbe is going to say, and according to Chassidus, this works out masterfully. The Torah doesn't say it's a nechosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did call it a nechosh. And Moshe chooses to make it out of Nechoshes. It all works out beautifully. And this is by understanding the depth and the profound meaning of this, of the symbolism in this Nechosh. What does the Nechosh represent? The Nechosh represents Misa itself. It represents death itself. It represents Gimel Klipas HaTemeis itself. And here in this story, the Nachash that represents evil is actually the source of life itself. You see, when somebody was bitten by these venomous snakes, they were going to die. They were dead, good as dead. The only way that they wouldn't die is if they would look up at the snake, then v'choy, then the snake would bring them life. It's the only way they wouldn't die. So the snake, which is the source of, usually the source of Misa, actually in this case is related and becomes the source of Tchias HaMeisim, of the resurrection of the dead. So here we have a snake giving life. Where does Tchias HaMeisim come from? Where does the new life come from? Life, the source of life, gives life. But when life ends, it cannot return. When a person dies, the source of life cannot give life anymore. That's departed. That's done. Tchias HaMeisim has to come from the Atmos, from the essence of the divine, which is beyond life and death. And when life comes from beyond life and death, then even the dead could be living. And when life comes from beyond life and death, even the snake, the source of death, can become a source of life. So what's happening here is that the people are looking up towards a snake, and they are receiving life, because the snake is being transcended by the essence, by the Atzmus of Eretz Yisrael, which is shines through it, to where there's no, this snake is not a symbol of evil anymore, because there is no difference or differentiation. There's no good, there's no evil, there's no life, there's no death. There's the essence of the divine itself flowing through them. How does this happen? How does the Yid get life from the source of life through the snake, through looking upwards and subjugating his heart, subjugating the snake in his heart? Laviyam Shabbat Shemayim. The Yid looks upwards and he sees the snake. And then he looks towards heaven beyond the snake. And he then takes his inner snake and he subjugates it to the service of the Eibishter. Then the Yid, his own snake is transcended, and his own snake is now engaged in the service of the divine. Similarly, his own snake will be, the snake itself now becomes a source of life instead of being a source of death. And Moshe makes it a nechash nechoshes, because just as the snake is a symbol of death, so to nechoshes, copper is actually a symbol of that which is related to the klipa. Hence, the relationship between the words nachash and nachoshes. Because as we said, the words themselves have a relationship, and the name of every matter expresses its source. So nachoshes also represents a level which is enclosed in the klipa. Copper is connected to evil. So when the snake is transformed, when the nachash is transformed, so the nachash also is transformed. Finally, we have this understanding of why it is that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually told Moshe that it's a nachash. Moshe said, but the Torah doesn't record that it's a nachash. The Torah just calls it a sadaf. If the Eibishter calls it a nachash, why does the Torah not write the word nachash, just write sadaf? So we said, according to Nigla, that's not a problem. But in Chassidus, we have a deeper meaning. This idea of transforming the nachash, that the nachash can become fully transformed and can become a source of life, is an idea that exists beyond the Torah. In the Torah itself, within the limitations of the Torah, so the snake in the Torah is a source of evil. It's not. It's a source of death. It's not a source of life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kairei Nachash. But the Eibishter, the source of Torah, which is higher than Torah, the Eibishter says, make a nachash into the source of life. But in Torah, it does calls it a sadaf. The Torah doesn't record it on the level of Torah, in the organization of Torah. Nachash is the source of evil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kairei Nachash, but the Eibishter from HaKadosh Baruch himself, there is a Nachash, the source of all things, can say and can transcend and does transcend the Nachash and makes it a source of life instead of a source of evil. So in summary, we have in the Nigla part of the Sicha, we have explained that Hashem actually refers to this as a nachash sadaf, and the Torah is allowed to leave out a gap, but those gaps only are we only fill in those gaps when they must be filled in. In other words, like in the case of nachoshes, there's no reason, since it's immaterial what the material was, there's no reason to say that Hashem told Moshe to make it out of nachoshes. And Moshe made it out of Nechoshes, and the Torah records that to teach us that words are related to each other. And in the Chassidus part of the Sicha, we've brought it all together, and we've said that it's not just because of rules and technicalities. This story is a story of Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim is related to the essence of the divine. And on that level, even the Nechosh can become the source of life. And therefore, it's made out of nechoshes, which is similarly klip. But that level exists within HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beyond the source of Torah. Thank you for joining me.